You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast,
connecting you to living truth.
If you'd like to support our podcast, rate us on iTunes
or join our inner circle through patreon.com.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends and family can know what you're listening to.
Hey, we're your hosts, Nick Smith
and Kylie Jo Smith. And today we are talking about culture.
Culture.
We don't really have, like, what's the one thing? We don't really have a one thing for culture. This one. But it's a lot about culture.
Well,
so,
being as though we are about to jump into Black History Month, and then we've got Hispanic Heritage Month coming up, and there's a lot of stuff happening. Yep. And you're going to start seeing a lot of Christianity, churchianity co-opting some of these causes. You're also going to see a lot of culture co-opting, like Black history. You're going to see a lot of stuff coming up. And so we just thought it would be good to speak into this a little bit.
Yeah, because it's confusing, or it can be confusing for someone who maybe you don't realize the things that have affected you, that have influenced the culture that you have. You may not even realize the culture that you're in and the predominant themes and even like the type of values that you have and how that's been influenced by that. So we just kind of want to talk about first, like, what is culture?
Yeah. Well, wait, before we talk about that, I got to say one thing.
Okay.
I feel like a rapper holding my mic like this. I just wanted to share.
Do rappers hold their mics like that?
I mean, normally it's like higher up when you, you know what I mean? Because it gets a little sound like that.
I'm a stage performer. We don't hold mics. We wear them.
You stop it. You stop it there. Also, just want to give a shout out to Patreon folks. Y'all, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your support. Okay. So I heard somebody explain culture like this. All right. So
a rap? Because that was almost a setup. You mentioned the rap thing a second ago.
Only if you can beatbox. And then we're going to, just kidding. No. Don't do that. No. Trying to explain somebody's culture to them is like trying to explain to a fish they're in water. Because it's like the fish be like, hey, how's the water today? And he's like, what's water? It's this thing you're in. What do you mean this thing I'm in? It's just you are so blinded to the everyday operations of what you're doing, to the things that surround you, to the things that influence you. You're permeated in this stuff. And so culture is a lot like that. We get connected into different cultures. And so culture is like a shared experience. We had a bunch of definitions. We could pull up the definition.
Or you could look them up yourself, because
there is
you
a thing
probably have
Google.
Access to the internet if you are watching this right now.
Or listening to this. Don't forget our people listening.
Watching and listening. You could be watching, like, anyway, go ahead.
Like staring at the little thing play.
Right.
Looking at our pictures play on your podcast player.
This one.
Something like that. I don't remember what I was doing. But no, culture is like a shared experience with a group of people. Sorry, not just experience, but a shared set of ideas, practices, social norms.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. And I used to think, or at least at one point, I remember it being explained to me that in order to have a culture, like there was like a certain list of criteria to consider something a culture, which in and of itself is a little bit like ethnocentric to be like, well, you have, in order to be a culture, you have to have these things. Like, who decided that?
Yeah, but at the same, I remember that. Actually.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, generally we see cultural isms represented in art, including music, like,
language,
visual art, language, clothing, customs, observed holidays and things like that. Those are cultural, but something that is unique about our American culture is that, as you've probably heard before, we are a melting pot.
Kind of.
But at the same time, we are, because of the way that America has been set up, we are a group of individuals living out chosen, ascribed, collective things. Like, it's weird. It's like we have all these individuals who are like, you know, that rugged individualism. Like, I am who I am. Thank you.
There you go.
But I, as an individual, help make up the bigger picture. That's the American ideology. However, in other parts of the world, usually traditional cultures, it's the other way around. It's that you exist within the context of a community that is like the umbrella over which you live out your identity. And so there's a lot of different cultures represented in America, but at the same time, we all have this unified identity as Americans. That's just, it's just kind of weird navigating that space.
It's like, kind of, so what you're talking about, like the, I can't remember who said it or how, but it's America, we have I am, therefore we are. Mm-hmm. And in other parts of the world, it's we are, therefore I am.
Yeah.
And so your collective identity comes first, and then your primary identity, individual identity is out of that, comes out of that. Mm-hmm. But in America, yeah, we have a rugged individualism that's been kind of sewn into who we are, where we talk about being, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, being a self-made man or woman, talk about how nobody's going to save you. You got to do it yourself. You got to, and the thing with culture is that culture can and will color your relationship with God. And so one of the things we wanted to touch on is how do we as believers differentiate the things that are Christ versus the things that are culture, mm-hmm. or the things that are cultural that need to be redeemed versus the things that are cultural that are just shared experiences, shared practices mm-hmm. among people groups, because there is a collective evangelical culture, like the white church, black church, Hispanic church, Korean church, like there's a cultural church mm-hmm. that have collective norms. And in America, kind of conservative evangelicalism is seen as like the standard, mm-hmm. Unless you're Catholic, because then it's a little different. But for those of us who are Protestant, conservative evangelicalism is kind of the forerunner. We see it in non-denominational churches that are out there, the big, huge mega churches that are promoting non-denominational culture. A lot of that is white culture that is Christian.
Yeah, that's lived out in the space of Christianity.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's really hard. And like even what you said at the very beginning, like it is really, really hard to have this conversation with people who have been steeped
yeah.
in the culture of evangelicalism, because it is a culture.
It is.
And to separate that in a sense from what it means to be a Christian, because in case we forget, which we often do as Americans,
yeah.
there is a whole other world
yeah.
that is living out their faith, living out their culture, and finding a way to navigate that that doesn't obliterate one or the other. Like, I yeah. think it's really easy to, I mean, as Christians in America, we're often taught this missionary mindset that like we have to go out into the world, as Jesus said, and make disciples. And we take that term, make disciples, and we attach all these other things to it because of our cultural understanding that, oh, in order to make disciples of all people in the world, somehow that means I have to go out into the world, into these other cultures with other languages and styles of dress and even relational norms. And I have to change those things in order to make them be disciples of Jesus.
Because I think it's easier to make someone a disciple of us as we follow Jesus
yeah.
than it is to make someone a disciple of Jesus apart from our cultural understanding.
Yeah.
And like missionary work is important and is powerful. Mm-hmm. I think and anyone who studied missionary work will agree that missional operations have been done wrong so many times in the early stages, where colonialism was actually implemented as missionalisticism. That's your new rap name, missionalisticism. And so when people would go out and evangelize, it turned into colonialism. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, we've got Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Also, mm-hmm. you need to wear pants. You need yeah. to put your hair up. You need to dress the way we dress. You need to talk the way we talk.
And you, woman, you need to not be in leadership, because
yeah.
now the man is in charge of this. Yeah.
So there's a really cool, anyone that's done mission work has read When Helping Hurts. Mm-hmm. It's a really good book, but there's a story in there that I really like. It talks about a missionary that goes to this culture. I believe it's in Polynesia somewhere. I could be wrong, but the culture that they were evangelizing, axes were a huge part of their power structure and their social structure. And this group had stone axes. And so people with axes had higher power, higher ranking. And this missionary was like, hey, we got steel. We can get steel axes here. And maybe that's an inroad. And they were really trying to do something mm-hmm. beneficial for the Lord to reach these lost people. And so the people that were coming to the mission were the marginalized, were the lower ranking people in society. Well, they started giving them these steel axes, and they actually disrupted the entire mm-hmm. society. And after a while, that society actually collapsed on itself, because the key component of their culture was this hierarchical. I'm struggling with words today.
It's just English. No big deal.
It's no problem. You get it. You know what I'm saying. But it was this axe thing. And so they ruined that. And they did it because they didn't understand the culture.
Yeah.
And instead of bringing the scripture and bringing God into that moment and saying, hey, tribal people. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus is the answer for whatever issue you're dealing with, and not me solving this axe problem is mm-hmm. the answer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Understanding culture apart from gospel.
Yeah.
And knowing the gospel needs to be implanted in every culture.
Yeah.
And not my culture needs to bring the gospel.
Right. Yes. And that's such a huge.
There it is.
You got it. You guys, he got it.
Finally.
I knew he was going to get
there. I was swimming through the words. Found it.
Hierarchy, hierarchical. No, but seriously, that is such a huge part of it. And as American evangelicalism has risen. Now I'm having trouble with my words.
It ain't as easy as it looks.
As it has risen in popularity and like in kind of being pushed to the forefront of like what it means to be a Christian, we've really blurred that line. Like in American culture, it is so hard, again, to convince people that what you are touting as Christianity is actually a white cultural worldview. Yeah. Is, I guess you would say, like lightly glazed over with Christian themes, mm-hmm. but it in and of itself is not Christian. And I think it's really, really hard to like know that, of course, like if you are living in it, it's really hard to be like, oh, of course, like, yes, because the culture that you come to Christ knowing mm-hmm. is the one that you have ingrained in your heart and mind. It's like, oh, this is my culture. And It's so crazy because like what you're talking about with that culture where they kind of disrupted the power structure. Mm-hmm. I believe that scripture teaches, and there's a lot of theologians and scholars that have like studied this for years, like way more qualified than I am to talk about it. But I believe that God has hidden his truth in every culture.
Yeah.
There is an element, like if you look at certain cultures where they don't follow Jesus, they have like a polytheistic
ancestor worship.
There is still some element of moral good and bad. There's always an element of like, there's a certain line at which we stop because we don't want to cross over into this way of treating people badly or treating the earth badly and things like that. And so that's a small little piece of God's truth hidden in that culture. And what we as believers who are called the light of the world are supposed to do is to come and illuminate that, like, hey, this value that your culture has, hey, it's just like this thing that Jesus talked about where he said orphans and widows should be cared for and like all of those things. And so our job is to look for the life and look for the good and to illuminate so that then when God brings his Holy Spirit revelation, it's like we're gathering kindling around these people and their culture and saying, hey, look, and then God lights the fire. And now we're able to step back and see, oh my gosh, you've hidden your truth here. And the culture in and of itself is not bad. We don't have to take the culture and remove it from the people, making them kind of like orphans, like cultural orphans, and then say, hey, actually, I've got this whole American evangelical thing figured out. You can just do that and that'll make you a Christian.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important that when we approach other people groups, and this is, of course, like the global scale when we're doing like missionary work. But when you approach other cultures or even your neighbor down the street, who doesn't go to church, it's not, that's a really weird thing that you're doing. And it's not really Christian. We have to step back and say, is this not Christian or is this just not evangelical culture that I've come to embrace because it's how I learned Jesus?
Yeah, no, that's so good. Even in churches, like, sorry, what you said kind of triggered a whole thought that I went down for a second. I was like, whoa.
Zoom out.
No, because even in certain types of churches, even certain streams of Christianity, you find people who have come to faith in a certain type of way, whether it's through liturgical church, through spirit-led worship, through whatever. And then all of a sudden that becomes the thing. That's how you meet Jesus. That's where Christ is. That's where he's moving. And there's some cool element to like being passionate about how you came to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. And
it helps part of your story.
Yeah, it helps you to connect to people in certain ways. But there's another part that's almost arrogant where you think God is only working in the way that I see him working. And God's not working in their life until it happens in this way. And now zooming back out from the church to everyone, as the church engages with other people, we can have an arrogant mindset of like, well, God's not working there yet until we come.
Wow.
Not understanding that God is already at work. Mm-hmm. Like the Holy Spirit is working in every culture to bring people to an understanding of him. And so when you step into that culture and you start to share the gospel and you start to reach people or even just connect to other believers in other parts of the world, we have to divorce cultural understanding from, let's just get down to the basics of, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in the word? Like, do we agree on the main things?
Mm.
And your expression of faith may be different than my expression of faith. You may listen to different music. You may not even listen to music. You may sit there in silence.
Mm-hmm.
However, that doesn't mean that you're not Christian, because the way you express your faith is different than the way I express my faith.
Yeah.
As long as we're agreeing on the main things.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, what you're talking about is a little bit what the Judaizers were getting criticized for.
Yup.
Is because like they were teaching, in case you don't know, like this is a reference from what book is it?
Acts.
Epistle. Is it Acts? I thought it was another.
Well, Paul brings it back up later in one of his letters, but we talk about it in Acts when Peter comes and then he opposes Peter and all that stuff.
Seminary degree right here.
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah. It's okay. That's what
I mean.
Okay. Calm
ASMR
down.
ASMR polishing the
nails. You're getting a little bit too full of yourself. Okay.
Humility.
Hierarchical. Let's not forget that. But the Judaizers were basically telling people who wanted to come be a part of Christian fellowship that in order to follow Jesus, you have to basically go back and do the Jewish thing. Like, you have to be circumcised and you have to abstain from this and that. And he says, like, I oppose him to his face, right? That's what Paul's saying. Like,
yes.
I went to Peter and was like, no, you can't do that. Stop it.
Well,
he said it just like that.
He did. We have a recording of that, actually. Hold on, let's cut to that.
First ever recording. No.
We have, but you see, Paul actually takes Timothy. No, I don't remember. Paul takes Silas, Timothy, somebody. Now I'm spacing out. Paul takes somebody with him, and they go to Jerusalem, and they talk to James, and they pray about it, and they say, hey, these people who are Gentiles are receiving the Holy Spirit. They're operating in grace. They're understanding the word. And they're, yeah. And so what do we do? And they prayed about, they solved this then.
Yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, it's cool.
It's already figured out.
They can still be in their culture. Like, they can still culturally be Gentiles and eat whatever they're going to eat. But there are some main things we have to agree on. And so the idea, I think what we fall into fast forwarding, y'all, I'm trying. Here's the truth. All right. My brain is moving faster than my mouth sometimes. And I'm like, oh, I'm on the next word. And I just give up mid word and start the next word. Never mind. Let's move on. So fast forwarding to our current context. One of the things that we're seeing, and it's a conversation that happens in Christianity, is how do we engage with culture as Christians?
Yeah.
There are multiple thoughts. I believe it was, never mind. Church history stuff just went out of my head as soon as I tried to remember it.
All right.
Seminary degree, remember that. that's why the Lord gave us books to reference. But there's a thought of, like, what does the world have to do with the church? Or as it was, like, what does Rome have to do with Jerusalem?
Like, yeah, like, what is the common or the profane or the, not profane, I guess secular. Have to do with
the
what
sacred.
Is God's sacred.
Yeah, work. And so it's like a complete separation of, like, Christ from culture.
Mm.
It's like saying all of things that are cultural in whatever cultural context are bad, and we have to focus specifically on only, like, what Scripture says, nothing else.
Yeah.
Divorce everything from it, only Scripture, that's what we focus on.
Mm.
And so you have that as this, like, Christ against culture, or Christ and culture, like the two different sides. Then you also have Christ above culture, which is like, you start off here, and then once you understand Christ, it's similar. Mm-hmm. It's like, once you understand Christ, then you're like, you just kind of elevate where you are into the Christian element. So there's parts of culture you keep, some parts you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Christ in culture. So, like, where you look at kind of what you were saying, you're looking at parts of culture and seeing where God is, and you speak to that part. You have another version, which is the Christ of culture, which is like the culture is fine. It doesn't need saving. God, you can bring all the stuff in there. That's where you get pastors that be like twerking in church. It's a thing.
It's like syncretism.
Kinda, yeah.
Like, they're where, like everything is everything, and God is in everything and nothing matters.
Yeah, it's like, as long as you are saved and you say the prayer, then, you know, keep living your life.
Mm.
Do whatever you're going to do. You can be partying, doing whatever, as long as you say Jesus is Lord.
Mm.
So it's like, it doesn't, there's no holiness in that.
Okay.
There's no separation at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this Christ transforms culture. And so it's where you come into whatever cultural context, and not only do you identify where Christ is working, but you see the areas where Christ isn't working, mm-hmm. and you say, okay, how can we submit this cultural area to Christ and see him transform and redeem yeah. these things? Practices that may seem, you know, I remember a story of someone going into a tribal African context, and they were worshiping the great ancestor. They believed in a creator, but then they also believed in these great ancestors. Mm-hmm. And someone came in, much like Paul on Mars Hill, and said, hey, let me tell you who the great ancestor is.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus is the great ancestor. Yeah. That's our older brother in the faith. That's who we follow, who we model, who we worship. And so it's taking this practice of honoring those that came before you mm-hmm. and allowing God to redeem that
yeah.
and turn it into something that's still cultural, mm-hmm. but is pointed and directed towards him.
That's good. Yeah. And there's so many different like testimonies from missionaries who have learned those things and have like shared that like, hey, I did it this way. I thought it was this. I thought this was the only way to bring the gospel to people. And then in the process of trying to change other people's culture, many of them realized like, no, God was changing me to see their culture differently. And I think that's just such a beautiful thing. And honestly, like proximity does that.
When
you go into, when you make yourself the minority and you allow yourself to go into a context where it's like, I don't feel comfortable because I'm not familiar with this, but I'm open to what the Lord has for me. And here's the thing, if you are saved and you're going into it with that mindset of like, I want to love these people and I want to bring the gospel to them, then you can trust the Holy Spirit in you to guide you in conversation and not have to worry about like putting everything at an arm's length and like rejecting everything outright. You can allow like by the being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you can allow the Lord to do that and not fear yourself being like taken over by a culture. I think there's some of that fear that drives us. It says, oh, well, if I, you know, don't tell these people that they're wrong for doing it this way or for saying these things, then they're going to think I'm okay with it. And then I'm going to start to be okay with it. And all of a sudden now I'm worshiping this idol. And it's like, that's, your faith isn't feeble, though you should understand you are childlike in your faith and you should have faith the size of a mustard seed. It doesn't mean that your faith is weak because of who it's in, not because of what you do to live out your faith.
Mm, that's good. I think that, and that has to come with wisdom, obviously. Like you don't go into like, you know, Satan worshiping situation and being like, I'm going to come in here and just kind of with an open mind, see what they're talking about.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yes. I just want to clarify for anyone that may be like, oh, sweet.
I pretty much heard a podcast where they told me to go to a seance and that I would be okay.
They said it was cool. They said it was, no, I said we did I'd be not safe. Say that. No, look at me. Look at me. No.
Listen up.
No.
See, there's people not watching.
I know.
Also, so just thinking about this in our context, in our like American context, for those of you that are listening in another cultural context.
Yes. Thank you, first of all.
That's around the world. Amazing.
What's happening, y'all?
Yes. But for those of you that like know American culture and something that has been kind of pressed on in different conversations with believers over the last few years is this idea as Christians here that we are living in like that we are that we're living in like the holy city. Like that we that America is like
the city on the hill.
Yeah, like we're Jerusalem, right?
It goes back to a speech. I can't remember which president did it now, but it's basically he equated America to the city on the hill.
Yeah, and it's been repeated over and over with different presidents over the years. But like there's this idea promoted in American culture, not in Christianity, that we here on this soil are living in Jerusalem, that we are the city on a hill, that it's our job and that we are the chosen people. And like there's this like oneness to that. As Americans, like it's promoted as an American thing, not a Christian thing.
Yeah.
And God is stated in it, but it's not in the sense of our creator, Yahweh, Elohim. It's not him. It's just like little G God over things. However, when you look at the culture of America and how everything from like the founding of the nation and even the way we live out our culture and interact with other nations, we are more like Babylon. We are more like Rome And I think that has helped me in approaching certain things is like, one, kind of approaching it like I'm an exile. Like, this isn't really my home, like in a lot of different ways, even like ancestrally, this isn't my home. This isn't where I'm from. But also understanding like, I don't really fit into this culture. There's a reason there's that holy tension and dissatisfaction with what's going on around me, with what's happening in our nation at times, where I'm like, oh yeah, it's because I'm not really like, I don't really belong here. I'm just trying to exist here and bring truth and light and love through the gospel to the people around me. But I think it has helped me in shaping my cultural worldview and like re-examining culture and understanding I was raised in a certain culture. I was taught certain values because of that culture, but that doesn't mean that those things are all bad or all good. I have to kind of sift through it with that, with the Holy Spirit's help to be like, okay, here are the things that I'm going to continue walking and here are the things that need reform under Christ.
Yeah.
And here are the things that Christ actually hid in that culture to help me to see, like, I'm living in this world, that is not Christian in and of itself.
Yeah. I think one of the things, Pastor, Scott Daniels, T. Scott Daniels writes a lot about that. The idea
Shout out.
Being in exile and being living our life here, wherever you are, as no matter where you are in the world, as a believer, you're in exile because this world is not perfected yet. And so we're still bringing that understanding of the world systems are flawed, the governments are flawed, everything is flawed. And so we have to bring the light of Christ into every situation. I think one of the beauties of living in America, if you're open to it, is being able to actually live out your culture and appreciate other cultures who also worship God, who also worship Jesus. It's something that's not done a ton. And who was it? Martin Luther King Jr. said, Sunday is the most segregated day of the week. However, you do have opportunities if you're in the U.S. to engage with other believers of other contexts and broaden your horizon to understand what is cultural versus what is scriptural and to see how other people worship and how other people pray, how other people do missions, how other people just live out their faith in community. It's eye-opening to see another culture and you see something like, oh, hey, we lay hands on people and pray, or we, you know, we do this and we do that as well. That's cool. That's a common connection. However, we don't do this other stuff, or we don't pray the way you pray, or we don't worship the way you worship. Sometimes our services are longer. Sometimes our services are shorter.
Probably the biggest distinction. I mean, most churches, like, that's, oh, you're only there for 35 minutes? Why have I been going to church for 4 hours my whole life?
Listen, no shade on any short churches, but I remember I was sitting with some pastors. I'm not even going to say the denomination or group or any of that, but we were sitting around talking about length of sermons, and I was, like, the last person to speak, and it was like a breakfast, like a prayer breakfast or something. And as we're going around, they're like, oh, you know, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. One person said, y'all, listen. One person said, you know, people's attention spans are so short. I don't preach longer than 7 minutes. 7 minutes? 7 minutes? I feel like the Drake meme.
Seven? Seven.
I feel like the Soulja Boy meme. Seven.
Here's the thing.
Minutes?
I'm going to say that has implications in other areas of your life, but madam or sir.
I'm just saying 7 minutes of preaching. That's all you got? That's all. That's the food you're going to give the people of God? Sorry, I went on a side note.
You did, yeah.
But culturally.
You're going to eat a meal? Seven? How long you go to the bathroom? How long? Anyway.
Too much information.
How long you in
that.
The car for 7 minutes? You just get out? I'm done driving.
I got
I can't goal. Take this anymore.
No. Sorry. Backtracking. cultural appreciation. Mm-hmm. With that being said, I want to encourage, if you are not part of the mainstream evangelical culture, I want to encourage you to dive into the word, dive into the parts of your culture that are represented in the way you worship, and express your faith unashamedly. I think there can be shame, and there can be almost this like, oh man, I know I feel it sometimes when I go to different churches, like even like the way some churches talk back to the pastor when he's preaching. You can go to some churches and that's not the norm. That's not the cultural norm. And so it's okay to be quiet in those moments and just be like, okay, I'm going to see how they worship, and they're not talking back. They're just listening. That's great. Then you go to other contexts and they're like, come on, pastor. All right, preach. Amen. And it's okay to express your faith in that way and not feel ashamed or not feel like when you invite somebody to church, like, oh man, they're going to get up and run around the room. I'm sorry. Like, no, don't be sorry. This is what we do culturally. This is part of our culture. And this is part of the way we express our faith and the way that we give God his glory and honor. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that. Looking forward at like Black History Month and like how to apply this, because we started out talking about like how a lot of times Christian organizations and churches will want to highlight or like participate in kind of how do we get involved in Black History Month and appreciating people of color and all of that. And it's done. It's still like, I will say we've come a long way, but there's still so much that is like misunderstood and it's like kind of tiptoed around. And I think one of the best things that can happen among believers is to not look at Black culture as a thing to be like changed, a thing to be like, oh, well, we hold on now. We don't quite like there's a discomfort that comes with like white culture facing Black culture, especially in the church. And also, I will say you use the word appreciation.
Yes, I did.
We should have a cultural appreciation.
That was definitely a word I used.
Which is different than appropriation. And I think it's so, and it's really hard. I will say like navigating white evangelicalism is really difficult for people of color who, like what we see oftentimes happening is appropriation. But a lot of times our brothers and sisters don't even know they're doing it. And they don't even realize like, oh, like there are certain nuances to Black culture that make their way into white churches that then become adopted as like, oh, well, this is a thing. This has always been the way that we are. And this is always what we say and how we talk and how we this. And it's really, really hard, one, to know that you're doing it if this is what you've been like exposed to and it's what you know. But I think taking the time, like even what you were saying, like get to know, like go to a Black church.
Go to a Spanish-speaking church.
Go to a church that don't look like you. They don't worship like you, where you don't understand the language completely. Like go in prayed up and ready to experience what God has for you. And like, but then don't think that just because you sat in a service one Sunday and you saw a few things that looked cool, that now you can go and imitate those things. And that makes you culturally aware, because it doesn't.
Yeah. That's a whole other episode.
Like it is, but I'm just saying like in the vein of Black History Month, which is like I remember hearing an author talk about this in her book that I'm reading right now. She talked about how something was painful, but she'd never really been given the language to express that. She was like this aspect of, in particular, Indigenous people's culture. And like hearing people talk about it and hearing people ask her questions and say these things. She was like, I never realized that this was actually painful, but I just didn't know how to express that to my white brothers and sisters. There's times where it feels like that, where it's like, I don't think you really get it. And I don't really even get it, why this is kind of weird and it makes me feel uncomfortable. But it needs to be understood that like, it's okay to not be, it's okay that Black culture isn't your culture, but it's okay to learn about it. Like, I don't know if that even makes sense. Like it does. You don't have to adopt the culture to appreciate it.
Yeah, that's good. I love that. Sorry, I was just thinking.
I love that.
That's good. You guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Yes.
We're just sharing our culture.
Yeah.
And Jesus.
And oh my gosh. And this is like an ongoing conversation. Like I think throughout the past couple of years, we've had different offshoots of this same conversation. Like, how do you engage? How do you, we have a lot of people in our like circle of influence and our friends group and our family who will ask like, what is okay to talk about, what's not. And like, we can't just give like a list of things, cause it's a little bit more nuanced than that. Like, okay, these are the topics you should never talk about with Black people. Boom, 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 boom.
But I thought you were pointing at me at first. I was like,
never talk about him.
You better not.
But it is a little bit more like, it involves so much more than just the do's and don'ts. Like, we don't want to make a law out of anything, because we know what that results in. If you're a Christian, if you know, you know. But but it's more about like getting to know the people in your life and having proximity and having uncomfortable conversations.
Relationship
and being willing to kind of suffer through it, if that's the term we're going to use, like suffer through the discomfort, knowing that there are many, like millions of people who have to suffer through their culture being obliterated in the name of Christ, and to experience that and to not really have a gospel home in that sense. So like, it's a small price we can pay to just be able to show the love of Jesus to someone.
Mm, that's good. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We hope that this episode has connected you
to living truth.
Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you'll consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Don't forget to rate and share this podcast. And if you haven't already, follow us on social media. If you want to be a part of our family's mission to entertain, educate, and empower others, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. Exclusive Nick Smith merchandise is available to you through our online store at www.nicksmithpodcast.com.